supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Almighty. Dear brothers, dear sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic for this episode is the secrets of Hajj.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
But first, let's look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 2nd of Zilhijjah, 1443, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of July, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter Al-Imran, verse 96 from the Holy Quran. We'll listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين.
Indeed, the first house of worship established for mankind was that at Mecca, blessed and a guidance for the worlds.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One of the objections of the children of Israel was that they said why Muslim had taken the Kaaba as their Qibla instead of Jerusalem, which has been built 1,500 years before Christ by Solomon. This verse is an answer to them that the Kaaba has existed from the beginning day and it is the first house with its ancientness and its date is further than any other places of worship.
لبيك يا رب الأمم قد لفنا ثوب الندم بالدمع كم فاض الحرم نشكو الخطايا واللمم لا يشتكى إلا إليك
لبيك واغفر للذنوب لبيك ها إني أتوب أصلحني من كل العيوب واغمر فؤادي بالطيوب ليفوز بالعرض عليك
لبيك يا رب الأمم قد لبيك
You are with today's special and now this part, the secrets of Hajj. Dear brothers and sisters, the pilgrimage to Mecca, Hajj, is one of the fundamental obligations in Islamic laws. Hajj is one of the five pillars on which Islam is based. In Noble Hadith, Imam al-Baqir, peace be upon him, said, Islam is based on five pillars, prayer or salah, alms or zakat, pilgrimage or Hajj, fasting or psalm, and devotion to the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all. Imam Ali, Shia's first Imam, peace be upon him, advised about Hajj by saying, Do not neglect the pilgrimage to the house of your Lord, otherwise you will be perish. Imam As-Sadiq, alayhi salam, said, If the people neglect the pilgrimage to the house, the chastisement will overwhelm them, and they would not be warned about it. This is so because neglecting Hajj while the person is in a position to fulfill all its conditions is a great sin. A hadith says, when a person is capable of doing the pilgrimage but does not do it, he has indeed flouted the law from the laws of Islam. Another noble hadith says, one who keeps postponing Hajj until he dies, Allah will resurrect him on the day of judgment as a Jew or a Christian. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with some secrets or some important aspects of the Hajj. First of all, pilgrimage is a religious universal. One can rarely find any well-established religion in the world wherein nothing like pilgrimage could be observed. I mean, it means that almost all religions and certainly all the divine religions have developed something by way of pilgrimage for the followers. And it means that people leave their own homelands and take the burden of attending a very sacred place. And over there, they enact some deeds. And by doing so, they come to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From this perspective, we find that all this pilgrimage, that is Hajj, as called in the Holy Quran and in the Islamic religion, the aim of this ritual is getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other than this, there wouldn't seem any rationale for admitting all these hardships and problems. Imagine that nowadays it's possible for people to take flights from faraway lands to Mecca. But in the past, especially in the remote past, it wasn't like this. I mean, people had to go to Mecca, I mean, by means of, for example, hiring horses or camels and, I mean, enduring all kinds of hardships. Nowadays, compared with the remote past, I mean, going to Mecca is, I mean, quite easy.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
in the footsteps of the father of the prophets, Abraham, peace be upon him. The prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, continued his long journey across Babylonia, Syria, and Arabia. He folded up long periods of time while crossing plains, hills, valleys, rivers, and deserts to arrive eventually in the promised land of Mecca. To this place, he brought with the pioneers of faith and life, his wife Hajar and his eldest son Ishmael. The land of peace was the last station of the journey of Abraham. Prophet Abraham examined the deserts and mountains of Mecca as if looking for a new great event that will come into being on this particular land. Prophet Abraham's great heart resort to silence to cover his secret and fate.
شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك.
Thank you very much for joining us. Now, in this part, we'll look at the lessons to take home from Hajj. One lesson is beauty in diversity. And proclaim among men the pilgrimage. They will come to you on foot and on every lean camel, coming from every remote path, that they may witness advantage for them and mention the name of Allah during stated days over what He has given them of the cattle. Quadrupeds then eat of them and feed the distressed one, the needy. The Holy Quran, chapter 22, verse 27. Even today, in a global village, where we think we know about every remote path, Hajj exposes our ignorance about our fellow human beings. As the Sikh Imam said, He, Allah, established the great annual conventions of Muslims from the East and West during Hajj so that Muslims get to know each other well and become aware of one another's situations. It is quite beautiful to see pilgrimages adorned in different attires for worship to the same Allah, conversing in different languages but speaking to the same Allah.
Thank you. shortly after Adam alayhi salam was sent down to the earth, he was passing by the city of Mecca. And he passed by this valley, which is surrounded by mountains. When he was there, Allah revealed to him, Adam, this is a holy place of worship. O Adam, mark the dimensions of the Kaaba and construct the Kaaba. Adam alayhi salam, he circulated around that place where currently the Kaaba sits on. And after circulating around the Kaaba, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. Oh Allah, forgive me after doing these rituals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, Adam, I have forgiven you. And any of the descendants who come after you, your progeny, your descendants, if they come to this place, if they come to the Kaaba, they circulate around the Kaaba, they do the rituals that you did, I will forgive them. The Kaaba was assigned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a symbol that helps you concentrate on your Lord. Because we human beings, we need symbols, tangible symbols, so we can think of a higher power, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the history of the Kaaba. It started with Prophet Adam alayhi salam. The Kaaba in Arabic literally means the cube. It comes from the word muka'ab. Even in today's dialects and Arabic language, if you want to refer to a cubic shaped item, you say muka'ab. So the Kaaba basically means a cube. Because when you look at the structure of the Kaaba, it's a cube. It's a cubic shaped building. Prophet Adam alayhi salam, some narrations indicate, after establishing the Kaaba, which is the first house of worship, he went to the Holy Land in Jerusalem, and Allah commanded him to build Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And that's why these two houses of worship, the Kaaba and Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, where even historically, the temple for the Jewish nation would be there. And Prophets Dawood and Sulaiman, peace be upon them, they established an elaborate temple in Jerusalem. But Prophet Adam a.s. was the first one to establish Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem after the Holy Kaaba. Then we come to the time of Prophet Ibrahim a.s. Prophet Ibrahim a.s. was ordered by the Almighty God to reconstruct the Kaaba. That's because a series of floods had destroyed the Kaaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to take his second wife Hajar and his young son Ismail to the Holy Land.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic about this nice, precious journey that is Hajj. We leave you in Allah's protection and have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wan ni'mata laka wal mulk. لا شريك لك لبيك حجا حقا الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
food for thought.
Salam, friends. And since today is the second of the month of Dhul-Hajjah, the day following the blessed wedding anniversary of Imam Ali and Hazrat Fatima, peace upon them, how about pondering upon a thought-provoking saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny? Fatima is the noblest lady of all time. When she stands in the niche of prayer, 70,000 angels send salutations upon her with the same tidings they had given the Virgin Mary, saying, O Fatima, God has created you peerless and pure and made you superior over all women of the world.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful hadith, which has been narrated from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith is about the rights that animals have over their owners. As you know, rights are something that all creatures, all beings in this world, all creatures and creation have, you know, over one another. And this is a subject which has been adequately discussed in the famous Treaties of Rights, which has been ascribed to the fourth Imam, Imam Jawad alayhi salam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. Nevertheless, we also have miscellaneous traditions and hadith from other Imams, as well as the Prophet Muhammad, regarding the rights of creatures over one another. One of those hadith is the following hadith, which has been narrated from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said, "The animal has six rights over its owner." Six rights that an animal has over its owner. Like, for example, a horse. If you have a horse, that a horse has six rights over you. Or if you have, let's say, you have a dog, you know, a sheepdog, or you have a watchdog, that dog has six rights over you. So be careful. Make sure that you fulfill its rights. The first one that the Prophet mentions is this. Once the owner has dismounted the animal, he should allow it to graze. Of course, this is specifically to those animals which a human being uses for a mount. It wouldn't be applicable to the animal, like, for example, a watchdog or a sheepdog or something like that. Or like a fish or a bird that one keeps as a pet. Secondly, he should give it access to water if they pass by it. So let's say you're riding a horse, you're passing by a certain place, then that has water, you know, you should allow the water, you should allow the animal to drink the water before passing and continuing in your journey. Third, the Prophet said, he should not hit the animal except when it truly deserves it. Right? Like, say that the animal is being unruly and not continuing and moving, even though it's been fed, it's been watered, and all its needs have been tended to. Nevertheless, it doesn't want to continue. In this situation, for example, it can be hit, or let's say it's causing some other problems. But other than that, unnecessarily, the Prophet prohibited us from hitting the animal. Next, the Prophet said he should not burden it with a load that it cannot bear. Right? This is it, putting a burden on it, which is unnecessarily heavy, right? And making it, forcing it to do that. This is something which goes against its innate and natural rights. Then the Prophet said he should not overtask it with a journey that it cannot endure. For example, making it travel long and unnecessarily lengthy distances, right, which it doesn't have the ability to do. Finally, the Prophet said, and he should not sit on it for lengthy periods of time. Let's say that, for example, every now and then the man should get off and, you know, let's say, walk the animal so it doesn't get tired. All of these somehow go back to not overburdening the animal with a task that it cannot endure. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the rights that an animal has over its owner, in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
So respected brothers and sisters, welcome back to the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us. Look, we have four rules. Okay? Idgham, Idhar, Iqlab, and Ikhfa. So if you see this tanween type, this type of tanween, yes, one more on the left, one more on the right. This type of tanween, no matter it's kasra, dhamma, or for example,
fatha.
So you, actually, the tanween dhamma is different. Go to the next ayah. Qulubun yawma idhin wajifatun. One type of tanween. Yes? Wajifatun.
Yes.
There is a dhamma this way, and there is a, like slash, a different dhamma, like a dhamma, yes?
Yes.
Different type.
Opposite.
It's just opposite, vice versa. The next one, أبصارها
خاشعتون,
another type of tanween.
Yeah.
All right?
Both are same.
Both are the same tanween, but different styles, yes? So what does it say? Why are they written differently?
For us, here are
so
same.
If they're...
It's the same for you?
Written with...
Maybe your Quran is different. No, I mean the printing is different.
So is it possible that in
for some
one...
Quran in Usman, sorry, in Usman Taha version, okay, we have this. Like separately, they're written differently.
So is it possible that on one word there are more than one rule applied?
Yeah, maybe.
So this so one part fatha of... written with a different, like one to the right, one to the left, means more than one rule is applied?
No.
So what is the difference?
You didn't get me. I told you, okay, this is like tanween is tanween. We do not pay attention to the types of, to the style of tanween, okay? It's one more on the left, one on the right, no. Or just equal. We don't pay attention to this, okay? Actually, the rule is not this, okay? That whenever you see that type of tanween on the top, okay, you have to do one rule. When you see one on the right, one on the left, okay, more, one type of tanween. Or the meme, one type of thing. No, this is just, this helps you more. Okay? The new, when they print the Qur'ans, okay? So they put these signs, okay? To remind you of the rule. But the actual rule is applied based on the letter. On the letter comes after tanween. Remember, okay? The rule idgham, the rule ikhfa, the rule idhar, the rule iqlab. They all are applied, they all are, okay, like we understand them, we will apply them based on the letter that comes after the tanween or nun sakin, okay? So we will, inshallah, divide the letters, the Arabic letters, okay, alphabet letters, into four groups, okay, into four groups, that for each group we will apply one special rule. For this group, for example, for group A, we will apply the rule idgham. For group B, we'll apply the rule iqlab. Group C, the rule ikhfa. Then group D, for example, the rule idhar. Okay? We'll apply it. Understood? But just these types of tanween, okay? This the writing style, okay? If it is written on the top, yes? Two fatha on the top, exactly on the top, no space, okay? Or tanween kasra exactly on the top of each other, no space. Or tanween dhamma, that tanween, special tanween, okay? So it will tell you that, yeah, that rule that you studied, for example, idgham, you should apply this one. This help you, another sign.
Oh, yes? This is a hint, just.
Just a hint. Just a hint. Okay, it's just a hint. We'll go through them, okay? So, are you ready to go to some verses? Let's recite them, okay? And we will apply the rules, but not talking about them yet, okay? We have not started them yet, yes?
Yes.
Clearly. What is izhar? What does ikhfa mean? No. But just, let's recite some ayahs from Surah An-Nazi'at, okay? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
So, the ayah 19, right? Ayah 19.
Yes.
وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ
وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ
Okay, رَبِّكَ, right?
فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَىٰ فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَىٰ
Inshallah, when we get to the rules, okay, I will tell you. فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَىٰ
فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَىٰ
ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَىٰ
ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَىٰ
فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَىٰ
فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَىٰ
فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ
فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ
رَبُّكُمْ We have idgham here, okay? I will tell you what does idgham mean, inshallah.
رَبُّكُمُ
We'll come to them, okay? فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَىٰ
فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَىٰ
In this ayah we have إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَىٰ
إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى
We learned, we had studied that tanween produces an an sound, in sound, un sound. But why did we recite لعبرة تل?
There's a تشديد on لام.
Okay, what about لمن? Nun ساكن produces a n sound.
So, no, we,
why we didn't say liman yakhsha? Huh? What's the answer?
Because noon is there. It has no harakah, so we idgham it.
No, because
okay, we'll study inshallah.
The rule says this.
When lam come, we should not pronounce the noon is again.
Lam mushadda.
When ya come also, we should not pronounce.
Aha. You are to some extent right, to more extent left. I mean wrong, okay? So the rule says, inshallah, we'll study that whenever nun sakin is there, then ya is there, okay? You should merge or insert this nun sound to the ya sound.
Also, mim we have.
You will sacrifice the nun sound because of the ya sound. Limay yakhsha.
So here we give like ya a tashdeed. Limay yakhsha.
That's it.
Ah, I said correct.
Yeah, that's the rule, okay?
Yes.
But we are applying, okay? So, inshallah, we'll go through each of them and we'll take a look at them. That why and when. Okay, when should we apply the rule idgham? When we should apply the rule idhar?
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Next ayah. أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء
أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء
Great أأنتم Why? نون ساكن أأنتم Easily say أأنتم Okay Why do you say أأنتم Why Mr. Teacher
Beautify.
Why? Spiritifying the Yeah That's the tajweed That's all about tajweed. أَأَنتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ Look, in لِمَنْ يَخْشَى Look, how do we say? We prolong the sound. لِمَنْ يَخْشَى And also the noon ساكن sound will be deleted. Or will be merged into ye sound. But why not an dhamma? Khalqan. 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 Amis sama. Why not this way? Yes? Khalqan. Why do we clearly pronounce the tanween sound? Why not the previous word, the previous ayah that we had?
Because
la ibratan liman yakhsha. Why not?
Because after tha there is a tashdeed.
No, because here, yes.
When we tashdeed comes, we should idgham.
I'm just raising questions in your mind, okay, to help you like be ready, okay, for the rules.
Intentionally asking.
Yes. So inshallah, we'll say, look, we have hamza after tanween. So inshallah, the rule says that if tanween is followed by a hamza, so hamza is the throat letter, so in this case you do not have to merge the sound of tanween. The sound of tanween must be clearly pronounced. Khalqan amis sama. Do not say khalqan amis sama. No, nothing, just the tanween must be clearly pronounced. That's it.
Sure, when we say the rule says this, you say this is wrong.
No, you said the wrong rule, okay?
You ask, why is this like this?
You're saying the wrong rules, okay? That's why I'm saying it's wrong.
You said why it is written like this.
I said
the rule said.
The rule says, so what is the rule? You do not say that. That's why I prove it wrong. Next ayah. Again, this ayah, let's repeat, because one part we didn't recite.
أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء؟
أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء؟
بناها
بناها
رفع سمكها فسواها
رفع سمكها فسواها
وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها
وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها
أخ heavy sound وأغ وأخ look both are heavy sound
yes. وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها
وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها
والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها
والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها
أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها
أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها
أحسنتم منها. Look, we have nun ساكن. Why we do not merge it to ها? منها. Yeah, we're. And for example, in the previous ayah, لمي nun ساكن was merged with ye. But here, nun ساكن will not be merged to ها.
The rule
says. لمي, the rule says. So what's the rule? Inshallah, in the coming session, the next session, we will go through each of them specifically, okay, in details. We'll start, inshallah, with the rule Ilhar, and we will cover them all. Okay, Hussein Musa?
Yes.
Okay. So, do you have any questions?
Nope.
No.
Now you understand why we will be, like, reading, studying the rules of Tanween and Nun Sakin, right? You have enough questions in your mind, yes?
Yes.
So, about Nun Sakin and Tanween. Inshallah, we'll go through them. So, thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we finished like the light letters and heavy letters and started our new topic. So stay with us with the very, very important rules, okay? The rules of Tanween and Nun Sakin, Ilhar, Idgham, Ikhfa, and Iqlab. Okay, these are very important. So see you, inshallah, in the next coming session. Stay with us. Join us again, inshallah. Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وآل محمد.
Special thanks goes to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. Inshallah, let's recite a salawat again.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran.
a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Ya man bada'a khalqi wa dhikri wa tarbiyati wa birri wa taghdiyati Habni libtida'i karamek wa salifi birrike bi ya ilahi wa sayyidi wa rabbi أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى علي قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك وبعد صدق اعترافي
The excerpt under discussion, dear listeners, was this part. Ya ilahi wa sayyidi wa rabbi. By Allah, my master and my lord. Aturaka mu'adhibi binarika ba'da tawhidik. Can you be seen tormenting me with your fire after I have professed to your oneness? Wa ba'da man tawa alayhi qalbi min ma'rifatik. After your recognition my heart has embraced, وَلَهِجَ بِهِ لِسَانِي مِنْ ذِكْرِكِ And the remembrance of you, my tongue has constantly mentioned. وَاَعْتَقَدَهُ ضَمِيرِي مِنْ حُبِّكِ After the love of you to which my mind has clung, وَبَعْدَ صِدْقِ اَعْتِرَافِي وَدُعَائِي خَاضِعًا لِرُبُوبِيَّتِكِ After the sincerity of my confession and my supplication, the humble, before your lordship. About this part, we have sufficiently discussed the concept of Tawheed, the concept of believing in oneness, and the concept of monotheism, after also the concept of cognition and how important it is in the acceptance of our prayers, one aspect of which is the fact of softening of the heart and how the heart should turn toward Allah during supplication. One last point to be discussed is about this part, لَهِجَ بِهِ لِسَانِي مِنْ ذِكْرِكِ After the remembrance of you, my tongue has constantly mentioned. This remembrance is a really important and somehow a key word in our traditions. Among the formulas of remembrance of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, for example, while he was in prostration, was, he says, My lowly face has prostrated before your mighty face. My perishing face has prostrated before your eternal and everlasting face. My needy face has prostrated before your self-sufficient face. My face, hearing, sight, flesh, blood, skin, bones, and what the earth has borne of me have all prostrated before Allah, the Lord of the world. This is the kind of remembrance Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is teaching us. We'll be back to discuss this important concept after a short break.
Oh my God, my Master, my Lord, and my Nourisher, will you see me punished with the fire kindled by you, despite my belief in your unity? And despite the fact that my heart has been filled with knowledge of you, and when my tongue has repeatedly praised you, and my conscience has acknowledged your love, and despite my sincere confessions and my humble begging submissively made to your divinity, no, indeed you are far too kind and generous to destroy one you nourished and supported, or to drive away from yourself one you have kept under your protection.
Thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
One of the important things that a true supplicant must consider is the continuity in praying. I mean, this praying, this remembrance must continue even in adversity and ease. Continuation in invoking Allah during adversity and ease, and the precedence of supplication and ease over supplication during hardships, is a matter that has been emphasized a lot in the Islamic sources. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in this regard is narrated to have said, "Make yourself known to Allah during ease, and He will know you in adversity." The reason why I'm trying to mention some of the traditions about remembrance of Allah is that Imam Ali alaihi salam in this part says, "Lahija bihi lisani min dhikrik." The remembrance of you, my tongue has constantly mentioned, and this constantly is an absolute term, which means in every situation, I did not forget about you. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, whoever takes precedence in invoking Allah, he will be answered when a calamity befalls him. And it will be said, this is a voice known to us. He will not be obscured from the skies. But he who takes no precedence in supplicating will not be answered during affliction. The angels shall say, we do not recognize this voice. And this is a very astonishing concept. You have to make yourself, you have to make your voice known before the Almighty Allah. What Imam Ali alayhi salam is trying to teach us, لَهِجَ بِهِ لِسَانِي مِنْ ذِكْرِكَ. My tongue has constantly mentioned you. I did not forget about the remembrance. My tongue was always busy with the remembrance of you. How could it be that you start tormenting such a person? This cannot happen. The commander of the believers is trying to make us understand, if you want your Lord to be far away from tormenting you, you have to first start with tawheed, ba'da tawheedik, and then your heart, wa ba'da man tawa alayhi qalbi min ma'rifatik, and then it comes to your tongue, lahija bihi lisani min dhikrik, etc. And this remembrance must happen in all situations and circumstances. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, supplication during ease extracts the needs during adversity. And he is also narrated to have said, whoever likes to be answered during adversity should increase supplicating during ease. There are some other points regarding this remembrance of the Almighty Allah or dhikr of the Lord that will be discussed, God willing, in the next episode. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and welcome to this episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. So welcome, and today we have a new story. A miser has buried his gold in a secret place in his garden. Every day he went to this spot, dug up the treasure and counted it piece by piece to make sure it was all there. He made so many trips that a thief, who had been observing him, guessed what it was the miser had hidden, and one night quietly dug up the treasure and made off with it. When the miser discovered his loss, he was overcome with grief and despair. He groaned and cried and tore his hair. He passerby heard his cries and asked what had happened. My gold, cried the miser wildly. Someone has robbed me. Your gold? There in that hole? Why did you put it there? Why did you not keep it in the house where you could easily